Good morning. Welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall, and I have a guest. He's in Ocean City, Maryland. Roy, are you there?
Yeah, buddy. I'm here, man.
We are separated today.
But we are.
But we have a plan in case there's a nuclear attack.
It's Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, we're meeting in Columbus, Ohio, where all of Matt's family is meeting.
Just meet me there. I'll be the guy with the green shirt on.
You know what? I told Matt that's a long walk to Columbus, Ohio from Baltimore. Anyway, I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G. Roy Edwards. We're getting ready to start a show here. And I'm excited. Roy, do me a favor, because it's been so long since I've been to a bachelor party. Yeah. And generally speaking, the bachelor parties I go to and I've been to lasted one full night. And, you know, nowadays it's like the hangover. Everybody goes for a few days. I mean, it might start out as a night, but, you know, after 3 days and you're all still hanging out with the same guys and you haven't talked them out of getting married yet, you guys just keep on pounding the question. First of all, let me ask you the most important question. Is there any chance this poor guy will not get married?
No chance in hell that he does not get married.
I'll say a prayer for him. What's his first name?
His name's Evan.
Oh, I know Evan. Evan from Falls Church High School. Yeah. Evan, I'm going to say a prayer for you, brother. Hey, all I got to tell you is at one bachelor party I went to, we put a guy on a train, to Florida, unconscious, and paid the conductor like $100 to make sure that he didn't get hurt. And he ended up coming back. He was late for his wedding. This is a true story. He was late for his wedding. His wife never spoke to me again, but this woman was just not worth marrying. Trust me, everybody knew her. Everybody had been with her. She was just terrible. And, I got to tell you, though, the marriage lasted a long time. It lasted about a year and a half. And he figured it out all by himself. So, Evan, I hope she's a good girl, and I'm sure she is. What's the girl's name so we can embarrass her?
Her name's Jessica. She's awesome.
Jessica.
I've never met two people who are exactly the same. It's pretty crazy.
Well, that's really hard to do when you're married because, generally speaking, well, you almost have to be exactly the same because opposites are, like, perfect for each other. Opposites last and exactly the same last. It's that 99% in between that create the 50% divorce rate in this country. And I'm Bruce Hall, and that's
49% that just hate each other.
Yeah,
they don't want to deal with lawyers.
Yeah. And listen, Matt's saying that because his wife is not here.
And I have. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen either.
All right, now listen. the only marriage we're going to talk about, I guess the rest of the show, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, God, the Rangers. I felt so bad for the Rangers because twice they battled back, from three down and two down to tie the score and force overtime, and they lose. And if they'd have just won one of those, they'd have gone to a game seven. If they'd won both of them, obviously, they'd be in the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, you got to take your hats off to the Rangers. Scotty O'Neill, Scott. Boy, your boys had it going on. I will say this. The head coach of the Rangers gave an interview, a press conference that I thought was extremely, you know, good for him. I was expecting to hear all kinds of lousy stuff coming out of his mouth, but he did a great job. And, you know, it just wasn't there for him. Now, New Jersey, obviously, is in our listening area. So let's go Devils! Because we are absolutely not rooting. And I got to give it to the New Jersey Devils. They just hung around all year long, Roy. Yep. And weren't they the 7 seed or 6 seed? They weren't even seeded that high.
They were the 6 seed going in.
And I got to tell you, they hung in there. And that just goes to show you how even the NHL Eastern Conference is. Because the Caps were number 8. They were 7, weren't they?
They were the 7 seed, yeah. But the 8 seed, the LA Kings in the West, they're the 8 seed.
And you know what? I think New Jersey takes it. I think everybody is overreacting to the offense. And offense is not going to win the way that these games are being officiated.
The Kings have a great defense, too. I mean, their offense has definitely caught fire. which to me is the cause for concern, because Martin Brodeur, the goalie of the New Jersey Devils, this isn't his first time to the Cup. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's been a great goalie.
He's been to this dance for a long time. He's been to this dance before, hadn't he?
Three times, yeah.
Martin Brodeur, how old is he? 36. He's pretty close. Old. Yeah, he's got to be about 35, 36 years old.
He's 40.
No, he doesn't even look 36. He looks like 30. And look what those masks do for those goalies. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, you'd be 30 years old and you look like you were 50 if you were playing hockey. When they didn't wear helmets.
He was drafted in 1990. So that's how this guy's been around
22
for a while.
Years. He was 18. Yeah, he is 40. He was 17, 18 years old coming out of there. But that's super. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I was so torn on. I really thought the Rangers were going to win. I actually had the Rangers in six. So
I think a lot of people had the Rangers.
Well, you know
in
what
six.
I did though? I ended up hedging in the plays I released. I ended up hedging and going individual games, but I had the Devils for the series because they were an underdog, and so that basically it's like hedging in the stock market. You know, if you got a stock and you've got 10,000 shares of this stock and you're betting for it to go up, you play option puts just in case it ever dives 20 points in a day. That way you're covered. You know what I mean? And that's the way it works when you're wagering in Vegas. You know, you basically sometimes you hedge. You have to. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS here. We have a phone number. We'd like you to leave a message for us, 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. Leave us a message if there's anything that you want to discuss. Let us know what you think of the show. Believe me, we're used to hearing everything. You can also go to BruceHallSports.com, Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Twitter.com/BruceHallSports. That's actually at Bruce Hall Sports. And our hashtag here is #BHSports. And Roy, give him all your stuff too.
Yeah, well, my Twitter handle is SportsManCave, which I actually don't have my Twitter handle in front of me, so don't send me anything right now.
Are you the best man? Are you the best man, by the way, for this
yeah,
thing.
I am.
So you're the guy that took them all the way to that wild place that you're at in Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah, well, we were supposed to kidnap him, and that didn't really end up right. Well, it was pouring down rain, and so we were going to have him meet us somewhere, and then it started pouring down rain, so he didn't want to leave his house. He wanted to, because we were going to watch the Nationals-Phillies game that night at his house, and so we just ended up calling him outside, and he hopped in the car. It wasn't the big kidnapping that we had all planned out, but he had no idea about it, so it was a surprise. So
now let me ask you this: what sporting event were you watching when he realized that he was in trouble?
we were watching the Nationals Phillies game. That's when we watched the. I have the MLB application at bat or whatever, so we watched the Nationals Phillies game the entire way down here. So that was pretty cool.
Do you think I was too hard on Cole Hamels on my Facebook page?
No, not at all.
I called him Mrs. Hamels.
He dug his own. He dug his own hole. I mean, he did that all.
You know, he also backed off of his previous statements. Did you see that?
I didn't see.
He's
that,
such a puss. He really is a guy. I mean, have you ever seen pictures of this guy?
Yeah.
You know, when he's all dressed up and stuff and. That guy isn't a metrosexual, what is? And there's nothing wrong with being a metrosexual.
He claims to be a old school guy. I don't know how old school.
He's very old school. Not looking at some of the clothes he's put on. I mean,
he did something stupid and tried to cover it up by thinking that he was a tough guy.
Well, you know what's amazing is this kid that we all know and love, Bryce Harper, here in D.C., who's 19 years old, is actually showing the rest of the major leagues how the game is played. Because he hustles out every... we were talking about this earlier, Roy. Yeah. Yesterday, he hits a line drive into right field. And a rookie all-star from the Atlanta Braves, Jason Hayward, doesn't charge the ball. He's just waiting for it to get to him. Well, Bryce doesn't slow down. Hayward bobbled it just for a split second, and he was gone. And it wasn't even close at second base. And you know what? It was so cool the way they flashed that up. Double. Yeah, it was a single. Yeah, he turned it into a double.
Well, I mean, there was no real error there.
Really?
He came around there flying.
There was no error.
He caught the right fielder sleeping. I mean, he plays the game like it's slow pitch softball. Well, testing guys' arms. It's ridiculous.
And I like what he did to Johnny Venters. Johnny Venters didn't give up an earned run, I don't think, last year for 3 months. And he hits a bomb into left field on a slider from Venters away. The kid is never going back to AAA. It's never, ever going to happen. The thing I like the most about the kid, honest to God, is the way he handles the press. He doesn't talk a lot. He knows what to say. He compliments the other team. Anyway, we're going to be back shortly. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
I love this song. Johnny Cash, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. That's as high as his voice ever went in his entire life. I looked over at Matt. I go, who's this singing Johnny Cash's song? He goes, that's Johnny. He's probably 25 years old is what he was.
Well, this is the original recording. This isn't the live from Folsom Prison, because I'm pretty sure there's some not safe for radio language on that one. So I played the original.
He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're back. I'm on the phone with Roy G, who's awake. I'm so happy he's awake, because he's been at a bachelor weekend, and he's doing great. And I want to say hi all of his buddies up here. Evan, congratulations on your impending marriage vows that you'll have to exchange with your bride on the wedding day. And just remember, Evan, you have until then to make up your mind, if this is something that you really want to do. I mean,
Bruce has a one-way train ticket for you if you need it.
Listen, if you ever go out with me, don't ever take a drink from my hands. Let me just tell you. We didn't have to knock.
Hi, I'm a date rapist.
Hey, no, we didn't have to. Listen, we didn't have that kind of stuff when I was growing up.
Nice to meet you.
What we had when I was growing up is guys literally did that to themselves every night. All you had to do is pick them up and throw them in a car. And then you had to take them to the train station. Then you had to kind of throw water in their face and dry them off. Then you had to put about $50 in their pocket. Then you had to get the conductor $100 and go, don't stop until you see Florida license plates. Then you can wake him up. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to start with, let's talk a little bit about the NBA, Roy, because I started really getting into the NBA when Jeremy Lin got crazy.
Yeah.
When Jeremy Lin became, he became Tim Tebow for a while. And then look how fleeting fame is. You know, as soon as he gets injured, nobody even thinks about him anymore. Now, I will say this. Those 4.5 million Jeremy Lin T-shirts that are somewhere stored in New York will come back out as soon as he plays again.
Oh yeah!
But when is that going to be? Is he going to start for the next year? Do you think?
I don't know if he's going to start.
They just gave Woodson a contract. You see that? That was awesome. Mike Woodson has been hired. I think he got a 4-year deal.
Very deserving. Very deserving.
Yeah, he is. And he was exactly what the Knicks needed, too, because, that guy plays defense. Hey,
he does.
You know who Mike Woodson's head coach was, right? Yeah, Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight. He's an Ohio State boy. I'm sorry, Indiana boy. Ohio State. Jeez.
I mean, if you can get those guys, if you can get that group of
what
guys.
What am I thinking about? I've been watching so much college baseball in the last 2 days. All I can think about is I have Big Ten Network, SEC Network, all this stuff. Hey, and the girls' softball right now is getting crazy. Let me tell you something. There is a girl that pitches for the University of Alabama that is a big, strong, great great. I mean, this girl is built like a man, and she throws it 70 left-handed and can underhand. Make the ball do anything that she wants. And she's such a good player, she even hits.
I'm not going to lie. I have watched a little bit of the
I love the softball. Well, see, I have to.
Because it was on in the pizza joint that I walked into, so I watched an inning.
Well, you know I mean, let me just tell you something. Girls softball's huge. And if you don't think it's huge, you go to a girls softball tournament somewhere, and you watch these girls play 4, 5, 6 games a day. A day they play those. Of course, they're 7-inning games, and, you know, they don't last long when there's a pitcher out there throwing in the 50s and 60s. And
I mean, that's pretty much professional softball. There's no real professional women's softball.
No, and they don't even let us play it in the Olympics anymore because we just beat everybody so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough being an American sometimes. And speaking about being an American, this is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. We'd like to thank all of our brothers and sisters that are in the armed forces, either now or in the past, that have served for our country. And I just want to let everybody know, you know, both of my parents were Navy. My father was chief petty officer during World War II. My mother worked for the commander of Nav Air for years. It just doesn't get any better. We're the luckiest people in the world. You know, I thank God. I'm not going to lie to you. I thank God that I was born here because, you know, this is the greatest country in the world. This is why everybody wants to be here. And I'm going to say this, too, and I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way. The only reason that we have the freedoms we have is because we have the strongest, smartest, greatest military in the world. And the kids, and I'm going to say kids because there's so many kids that I've coached that are in the armed forces now. You know, I have kids I've coached that are in Afghanistan. I have kids that I've coached that are getting ready to go in this summer. You know, I'm a firm believer everybody should do 2 years doing something anyway, and I think that would be great. I think we should build our military. I don't think we should make it smaller. And I'm so proud to be an American, and I know you are too, Roy.
Absolutely.
And let me just tell you. You know, I have a lot of friends that do a lot of work for the military, especially Wounded Warriors. These poor kids that go over there, and you know, and they'll hit one of those bombs by the side of a road, and they'll lose a leg, or lose 2 legs, or lose 2 legs and an arm, and they come back here and they learn how to play golf, or they learn how to, you know, to get by with their new arms and new legs. And these are the true heroes, you know. These are the true heroes of the war, these kids. And anyway,
I'm actually down here with a guy who has a Purple Heart and I believe a Bronze Star.
That's fantastic.
So,
What's his name?
His name's Ryan Weeks. He's a Ranger.
Way to go, Ryan. If he's a Ranger, he's a bad dude. Because that's an Army SEAL, right? A Ranger. Basically,
and
Rangers jump out of airplanes and they do all kinds of crazy stuff and they're involved in black ops and all kinds of ops.
What better guy to have at a bachelor
party? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, Roy, you are doing a great job because if anything happens that isn't really on the plan, he can take care of it, Ryan.
No man left behind, but if he has to come get you, he's drawing a penis on your cheek if you pass out.
Yeah, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. I got Roy G at Ocean City. We're on the air right now. Matt's here in the studio with me today. Roy, take it away.
Yes, sir.
Tell me why you and I both thought Oklahoma City would end up beating the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, why they will? Well, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we both had OKC going all the way to the championship. I have them winning it. I had them against the Heat, and I know last week I came on and I said that I thought the Pacers were going to take that series in 7 because the Pacers were out hustling the Heat completely for the first 3 games, really starting to show their youth and their legs.
And then they got soft on us, according to Larry Bird.
Well, no.
They did get kind of soft that game.
Then the Heat woke up and realized they were being embarrassed on national television.
Two words, Roy. Dwayne Wade.
Well, it was Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I mean, those guys completely turned it on. I mean, I think it was game four. It was right after I said that the Pacers were going to take it in seven because that was when they got embarrassed by 20.
Well, the good news, Roy, is all of our guys that know you, they turned right then and bet the other way and bet on Miami.
Exactly.
So we know. Hey, listen, you know, those guys use you too.
Then the LeBron – well, LeBron came out and dropped 40 and Dwayne Wade dropped 30, which is – I mean, and then the next game – they combined for 59 points or something ridiculous. I mean, they took over the series and really showed why they're two of the top five players in the
league. All right, San Antonio today is they open their series today, correct? I think it's tonight, 8:30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to win that game? Because I've already released it on my 800 number. That's 1-800-466-4748. Give me a call.
Well, one thing that the Spurs have going for them is that they've cleaned up every series so far in a sweep. They haven't lost a game since I believe it was March or something like that. They lost to the Lakers back in March, I believe it was. I mean, so these guys have not lost in a long time. They've swept their way through the playoffs. They have fresh legs, which is very, very it's a big necessity for this Spurs team, as we talked about, Bruce, before the show, that their key players are 36, 35, 30 years old, where you look at Oklahoma City – and Kevin Durant's 23. Russell Westbrook is, I believe, 23. Serge Ibaka, I think, is 22. So it's like their big players are younger and can go the longer series and turn around and play a quick series, where the Spurs really needed to sweep their way through the playoffs if they want to have a shot against this Oklahoma City team. But I just think the Oklahoma City team is – I think they have two – their legs are – you know, their legs are too young. They're way too talented, and believe it or not, I think they're the deepest team in the NBA. Right?
I agree with you. I like Oklahoma City only because I just think they're just a little too quick for San Antonio. Now I'll say this: I thought they might win it in six. I'm going to have it going seven games because you know what? I love Tim Duncan. I just think Timmy Duncan's going to find a way to take this thing to the limit. I really do. Hey, listen, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. The man the authorities came to play for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but what? We're back. This is Bruce Hall. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm used to Roy doing all this stuff. I got Matt pointing at me now. Hey, listen. Roy.
Yes, sir.
Is this Paul Simon? God almighty, he's old. I still like this music, though. Yeah, this was like when he went reggae, right? He kind of went reggae for a while. It was almost African. Wasn't it African?
Yeah, he got into world music.
He got into like Ghana stuff.
I think Saturday Night Live.
Ivory Coast, man. Yeah. All kinds of African nations, man.
Believe it or not, I don't own the Paul Simon's Greatest Hits album, so I don't really know what you're
talking
about.
I'll tell you what. I lost my virginity listening to Simon and Garfunkel.
Welcome to...
Like every night.
Facts same nobody songs, wants to know.
Same songs. No, that's
well,
true.
That wasn't...
And if you're listening, I'm sorry. Carol, I apologize.
Wow. I'm glad that's part of my useless facts now.
Hey, let me tell you something. You know, it was so long ago when I was in high school. I mean, we had 3,000 kids in three grades at my high school. By the time we got done taking roll, it was next period. You know, after everybody did their stand-up to the teacher. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not here. I'm not here.
What?
Hey, listen, let's talk a little bit. Let's keep talking about Oklahoma City. Hey, okay, they're going to win this series. Who's going to be the MVP, Durant?
Absolutely.
Okay. You and I agree on that for sure.
Who I think should have, I think he should have been the NBA MVP. But
I do too. I didn't understand that. I mean, what's the deal? Hasn't LeBron won it already like three times?
Yeah, this is his third time winning. Well, that's fine. It could have gone either way. LeBron was just as deserving as Durant. I just felt like that Durant was, I thought that he was the front runner. But that's okay. Well, I mean, it's not that I feel like LeBron stole it away from him or anything like that. I think it could have gone either way. The thing that I was most surprised about is how overwhelming the vote was. It was something like 80-20 or something like that.
Hey, okay. Hey, listen, Roy, let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili. What do you see him doing in this series? Because he's going to be matched up against some kids that can stay with him.
Yeah, I think Manu Ginobili plays a very big role. I mean, he's the youngest of those three guys. I think over the beginning of the show, didn't we say that he was 30 years old?
Yeah. He's not as old as everybody thinks he is. He's just bald.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That has a tendency to make you look a little bit older. Plus, he's been playing here forever.
Yeah, he's gonna have to keep up with the young guns of the OKC. But I think the big if you want to pick out a guard that has to play with OKC, I think it's Tony Parker. Tony Parker had a great year this year. I luckily had him on my fantasy basketball team, and he carried me to the playoffs. So I think that he has to have a good series if they want to keep up with the OKC guards. I mean, Russell Westbrook is quick. He's very, very quick, and he's just as much a scorer as Kevin Durant is. Now, Kevin Durant can play the three or the four, wherever you want to play him. That guy can play the four just like LeBron James can. LeBron can play any position. He can bring the ball up. He can play down low. And Durant is the same kind of player. He's a little bit younger, so he's still learning his post game. He's still learning his down low game. But I feel like if you want to point somebody out for the Spurs who has to really take it over this series, Then now you're talking Tony Parker. He has to step his game up, and Manu Ginobili has to support him, obviously, and Duncan just has to be Duncan. So, but I think it comes right back down to the legs of the Spurs, and I don't think they have the legs to stretch out a series with this young Oklahoma City team.
I agree with you. Yeah, now let's talk a little bit about the Heat and the Celtics. I hit the Celtics really. I got lucky late in the season. I started kind of leaning on them a little bit, and they really came through for me. This is a team that has gotten better as the playoffs have gone on. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, absolutely.
And let me tell you what I like the most about the Celtics. They've got a good mix of talent, too. I mean, Ray Allen, he's going to be 37 years old. He's been playing 15 years in the league. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they were 0 for their first 14 from the three-point line, yet they win by 10. What does that tell you? That tells you everything else they're doing is working. It also tells you that somebody is penetrating and getting the ball inside. Now, Kevin Garnett, he had a pretty good game yesterday. I'm not a big Garnett fan, but he is a solid – he's the kind of guy that's always going to show up to play usually, especially in the playoffs. You know, Kevin Garnett started playing this game right out of high school. You know, he's from Illinois. He got out of school in 76. I mean, he was born in 76, but he's been 16 years in the league. I mean, this guy.
Well, he was drafted straight out of high school.
Yeah, and the thing about Kevin Garnett I like is it's a good matchup in my opinion because they don't have a big man. I mean, if you think about it, who are the Heat gonna offset if they post Kevin Garnett up? LeBron's gonna have to back inside. Don't you think he's gonna have to help out with Garnett?
Yeah and no. It's all about Chris Bosh and how healthy Chris Bosh is. They talked about Bosh maybe coming back for the game 6 of the Pacers game, but then the last couple days before the game, they said that he actually wasn't going to play in game 6 because I felt like the way that LeBron and Dwayne Wade were playing at that point, the series had pretty much ended when LeBron and D. Wade woke up out of the game after the 22 blowout. But if Chris Bosh can come back, then you're talking about not having to make LeBron James or Chalmers come over and help. It'll make the Heat seem a lot deeper than they actually are if Chris Bosh is 100%. Now, that's even a question. He could come back, but is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be able to keep up with Garnett? So,
you know what? I think that's going to be the key to the series. Now, you know Rondo's going to show up. And here's the deal. Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo are two of the best guards in the game. There's no question about it. Rondo's young, though. He's not established. He's not an all-star. He's not a mega millionaire like Dwayne Wade is yet. But Rondo yesterday, another triple-double. 18 yeah. points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And it was in a game where they only scored 86 points. I mean, it was not that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. he's done that the entire time. He took over the game yesterday in the fourth quarter. The last 4.5 minutes, he was the difference.
Had to be the difference. Yeah. He had to be the difference with Paul Pierce fouling out.
Yeah.
The offense had to come from somewhere. You talked about Ray Allen being off 0 for 14 the first three quarters. He started, I think he hit a couple late. So he did end up with, you know, a couple three-pointers. But if Ray Allen's not hitting jumpers and Paul Pierce is fouled out, you know, Kevin Garnett is a post kind of guy. He's not the guy who gets open himself around the wing and creates his own jump shot. He's the underneath the guy, the rubbing elbows, the getting boards and creating a post position. Whereas Ray Allen, he's your scorer. He's the guy who runs around all over the floor and creates his own shot. Paul Pierce is the same kind of guy. So when Allen was off and Paul Pierce fouls out, Rondo really had to step up, and obviously he stepped up to the challenge.
And he's done it off and on his entire career yeah. up there. I mean, there was a time, and we were talking about it early in the season, when he wasn't happy up there. They weren't that happy yeah. with him. But now I think
locker room issues.
Well, they've all yeah. put that behind him, it looks like. And I tell you, the kid's talent is probably worth putting it up with it. The thing I like is even Brandon Bass had a good game yesterday. Brandon Bass yeah. can play some ball. You know, he's at LSU. He's a big, powerful kid. I like him a lot. You know, I think it's going to be a great series. I really don't see Miami walking away with this thing in five games.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a great series last year too. I mean, other than Chicago last year, the Celtics were really the only shot that the NBA had in the Eastern Conference to knock off the Heat, and now obviously it's the only shot they have now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this series plays out. I do have the Heat winning it. I don't think the Celtics can keep up with the Heat. The Heat are there's a reason why they were the preseason favorites.
No, I agree. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question, Roy. We were talking about this before the show, and I want to bring it out because triple doubles are something that really wasn't until recent years anybody really kept track of. So they had to go back, way back many years, to find out who the early triple double guys were. You know what I'm saying? A double double's yeah. a hell of a lot easier to get in a college or a pro game, especially a college game. I mean, it's a lot easier in a pro game because they play longer. But let's talk about who the best triple double guys of all time are. And we were talking about this before. Who's number one in the playoffs? Well, who has the most yep. playoff triple doubles ever?
And it's Magic Johnson by far.
By a bunch.
He's 30 triple doubles in the playoffs. The next closest guy would be Jason Kidd, who is currently playing for the Mavericks, and he has 11. So.
And then who's third?
Larry Bird with 10.
Okay, and then who's fourth?
Wilt Chamberlain.
And then who's tied with him?
That would be your boy Rajon Rondo.
I mean, and Rajon's yeah. what, 23? I mean, he's just a kid.
He's 6 years in the league, yeah. and he has 9. And Wilt Chamberlain had that. What you just said. He had the same number of 9, but he played 14.
He just turned 26 years old. He just looks 23. No, Rondo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I never got to see Rondo play, but one of the reasons that we probably didn't notice him all that much, he went to Kentucky, and you know, Kentucky historically has just turned out tons of players. I'm pretty sure that he went all 4 years to Kentucky, because no, he couldn't have. He must have gone after his junior year. I think he did, but that should be a great playoff. Now listen, you have Oklahoma City winning, and yeah. you think the Heat are going to win too, right?
Well, I bounced back and forth last series with the Pacers just because the Pacers' effort, the way that they looked, and with Chris Bosh being out, but I'm sticking with my preseason prediction of OKC Heat.
You know what? I hate to get off the Heat because I really do like the Celtics, so I'm going to stay on the Heat too. And it's kind of funny. I remember the show where we both predicted that. And you know what's funny? It's all been chalk, hadn't it? I mean, basically, the in basketball especially, it seems like in the NBA, there's not a lot of surprises. Not this year. Just doesn't seem to be. Hey, listen.
Well, I think the shortened season had a lot to do with that.
Hey, for the first time, Roy, in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. When we get back, we're going to be talking Major League Baseball. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. We got a draft coming up. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never.
Welcome back. This is Bruce Hall and Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's the Sunday before Memorial Day, and we're all thankful. We're all thankful we're Americans. We're all thankful for all that our veterans and our men and women and our armed forces today are doing for us. And we're thankful every day, not just on Memorial Day, not just on Veterans Day, every day. We love y'all, for sure. It's baseball season. I've talked about the NBA all I want to talk about today. Although I do want to see that game later today. I can't wait.
Absolutely.
I got to see that game because I got a feeling they're going to fly up and down the court a little bit in that game. I really like Okie City today because those kids, they got to be just well-rested. You know, they're ready to go.
Well, and they're young.
Yeah,
they got legs.
Yeah, but not only that, though. You know, San Antonio's got to be a little tired. I mean, you know, they just got – because that was a tough series for them.
Well, they swept.
Well, I shouldn't say that, but, yeah. I mean, I just think they're going to – it's going to be a horse race today, and I like the kids winning.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, I agree. I think this series will be a very telling series to see how rested the Spurs are. If the Spurs are rested enough, then we could see this going 6, maybe 7. But if Oklahoma City comes out and just puts it to the old men, then this could be a very short series. I mean, the Spurs are good, and they have a great head coach in Greg Popovich who is going to, you know, adjust well to the young guys, and he's going to throw some things at them, and he's definitely going to have some offensive and defensive schemes to try and slow down Oklahoma City. But I just think they're too young.
I agree. Hey, let's do this. Let's start with the American League East. Let's talk baseball now. And by the way, speaking of the Major League Baseball schedule and the standings and, you know, everybody who's out there with fantasy teams and rotisserie league teams, anything you want to call them, you know, I don't care if you're in your office or if you're in your neighborhood or if it's just the guys you play golf with, whatever it takes to make you pick up the paper in the morning counts, in my opinion. But I'm going to tell you right now, June 6th is the draft. And I was looking at the top 100 list in the draft, and there's a lot of high school kids this year. They're going to get drafted fairly early. It seems like more and more kids these days, and when I say these days, I mean in the last 10 years, are starting to come out of college. A lot of kids get drafted out of college, and they may not be drafted in a very high round. They may be drafted anywhere from round 20 to 40 or worse, and they elect to go to college. And if they do go to college and they stay there, they can sign after their junior year. They're eligible. They're draft eligible. And that's what's happening more and more, especially with pitchers. And I think that's a real good situation for the players because, you know, kids should go to college. I mean, if nothing else, you know, Roy, the one thing we learned in college is how to deal with other people. We might not have gone to class very often, and we might not have graduated summa cum laude, but you know what? We made a lot of friends. We made a few enemies. We learned how to deal with both of them, and that's what these kids need because when they get out into the real world, it's just them, their paycheck, and the guys they play with usually, and that's what it's all about. Let's talk about the American League East. And I know you. We're both Nats fans, and we are also, you know, Yankee and Met fans because, you know, our media brothers and sisters in New York and North Jersey We're right there with them. And I got to tell you, I'm starting to feel real good. Both the Yankees and the Mets won yesterday. And the Yankees, to me, they've won four in a row. And for the Pinstripes to put a four, you know, there was a lot of people up in New York on the air in the last few weeks since the start of the season that were wondering if the Yankees were ever going to win three in a row. And they've won four in a row now. They're only 3.5 games back of a Baltimore team that, Roy, you and I both agree, a little suspect. I mean, you know, they've started out like gangbusters at the end of last season. They played very well also, but their pitching is only going to take them so far, and their hitters now, they just did make the announcement that Adam Jones of the Orioles is signing a 6-year, $85.5 million contract. And I missed that by $1 million. Early in the week, everybody wanted to know what he was going to sign for. I had to find out how many years he was asking for. He was asking for 6. He's young enough to get 6. And I said $84 million. And I was pretty damn close. That's the biggest contract in the history of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, you like Adam Jones, right, Roy?
I do. I like him. I mean, he's a good, young, athletic center fielder, and he's an all-star, and he's really turned it on this year. But at the beginning of this year, I was one of the guys who was saying that they should trade him. I was one of the guys that – now, obviously, it's turned out to be a good thing that they didn't trade him and they haven't gotten rid of him because the Orioles have really turned around, and now they're at the top of the division. But, again, it's still early, and this Baltimore Orioles team could still end up in the basement of this division. And then you're looking at it, locking up a guy who you could get a lot for and you could get a lot of young guys for. And this is a Baltimore Orioles team who doesn't have a very good farm system, who really, you know, the last GM who was here didn't really do anything. They didn't really go out and get anybody. They didn't work on their farm league. They kind of just coasted.
Well, you know, that was Andy McPhail, too. And Andy McPhail, you know, I mean, he was, you know, everybody in New York knows him because, you know, he spent some time up there. And I got to tell you, you know, in circles around the league, he was always considered a pretty good guy. I think his relationship with the ownership group, the Angelos family, in Baltimore just wasn't where it needed to be. I don't think either of them trusted each other. I don't think anybody trusts Angelos to begin with. But, you know, he's your boss. He signs your checks, at least his son does. And, you know, you have to be very careful with that. The thing I like about what Baltimore's done this year, and you know me, I sent some nasty tweets to you to tell Buck Showalter one day when you were at the stadium, because Buck came out and said, well, you know, they're never going to support a team in Washington. He can, you know, obviously we're proving him wrong there right now every day. Matter of fact, last week they had Boston in town in Baltimore, and they drew 14,000 fans for Boston. And I'm telling you, almost that many Red Sox fans used to come to Baltimore to see the Red Sox play. Now, a lot of that has to do with the Red Sox fans being a little pissed off right now because they're not really back yet. And what happened this week between them and the Rays was almost ludicrous to watch. Joe Maddon, in my opinion, did a great job with that, you know, although he's never used that many words. And Joe doesn't cuss. You know, they'd have had to bleep everything I said, and they wouldn't have been able to take my hands out off of Bobby Valentine's neck if I'd have been up there. But I'm just telling you, they had to peel me off of the kid because, you know, it was all drama for him. That was all that was all about. But I'm going to tell you right now, what Baltimore has done by giving this kid this contract is they've sent a message to what fan base they have left. Wouldn't you agree that, hey, we're going to try to win this year because, you know what, we're in first place and, you know, it's almost June and we do have a pretty good staff and we do have pretty good players. And why shouldn't we try? I mean, they got Nick Markakis, who a lot of people think they never should have kept as long as they have because they thought they should have got rid of Markakis and gotten somebody for him. Unfortunately for them, Markakis didn't have a very good last couple of seasons. He was better when he first started in Baltimore. This year, he's back. Weeders is starting to hit the ball a little bit. They moved this kid from Arizona that played at the University of Virginia that strikes out over 200 times a year. They moved him to first base early in the season. I think he's still injured. But they have a good club. I mean, you know, they have the best closer in baseball right now. You know, Jim Johnson. He throws 98 miles an hour, and he's got a curveball. He throws four pitches for strikes. So I think they're going to try to do something there. I don't see them ending up in first place, though. Do you?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I don't either.
I'm surprised they're there now. Now, I mean, they've started, they were one of the first teams to win a lot of close games. Yeah.
They lost
Which
one.
Is that?
Yeah.
That's what counts is when you have a good, you know, when you do have a good closure like you're talking about, and their starting pitcher they're still not going very deep, but they're getting the job done enough, and it's really the bats that have kept them in their game with that Adam Jones and Markakis that you talked about, and Wiener's getting a couple hits here and there, and
JJ Hardy at short, you know, they paid JJ, yep. They gave him an in between contract 2 years ago, I want to say for $7 million a year. I mean, yeah, JJ Hardy can play, he can play. I mean, they're going to be okay. I don't know how, you know what, all of their guys, though, if you go to their minor league system and you go to Norfolk, God, pull up the Norfolk Tides. They can't score at all.
Yeah.
They have some pitchers. There's a kid named Steven Johnson down there that should have been in the major leagues a long time ago. But they have some pitching down there, but they don't have any hitters. You go to Double-A, you go to Bowie, they don't have any hitters. I went and saw the Bowie Bay Sox play the Richmond Flying Squirrels this past week, and the Squirrels handled them. And the Squirrels don't have any hitters, per se, although they have the Giants' top two minor league prospects on that team. Tampa Bay, you know, everybody picked them to win it before the season started. I mean, not everybody. Some people thought that the Yankees had to be their year. But but the Yankees had some bad luck to start with. We'll talk about that in a minute. Tampa Bay, though, let me ask you a question, Roy. Are they for real? Are they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Now, are you like me? I think that they win because of their pitching. They're not going to win because they're outscoring everybody. Although, you know, B.J. Upton is having maybe one of the best starts he's had in his career this year. They, you know, they did lose Evan Longoria early, and he's out for a while. They don't even know when they're going to get Evan back. He's not even in minor league rehab yet. I haven't even heard anything about him going there. You know, but they've got, you know, they play in a dome, which is ridiculous in Florida.
It's not even like a good dome.
No,
they have
it's not.
Catwalk home runs and everything.
Well, not only that, you look at the ceiling; it's white. So where's the ball? You know.
Yeah.
But I'll say this: it's a great advantage to them because I want to say they're like 19-6 there. So that creates a situation where, you know, on the road, they're only 11-12. You know what Baltimore's road record is, Roy? 15-6. That's unbelievable. Now, that's why I think they have a legitimate chance.
They hit a stretch there where they, eight, nine games in a row
on
the road?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, they play in the toughest division in the American League by far. Every team in the American League East is .500 or better. Same way in the National League East. It's like when you get to the Central and the West, you start seeing a little drop-off in play for sure. But Tampa Bay, in my opinion, they'll probably be there when it's all said and done. We'll talk about the Yankees when I come back. Hey, listen, if you're anywhere near Larchmont, New York right now, I want you to go to your computer and you type this in. AugiesItalian.com. Augies, AUGIES, Italian, ITALIAN.com. And I want you to order the best food you'll ever eat. Go pick it up and bring it home. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. But it passed my high. Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I just took a good shot of some ice cold Starbucks double shot energy drink, coffee flavored. God, that's good stuff. Hey, listen, we were talking baseball. We're going to keep talking baseball. I happen to have in front of me, as we speak right now, the New York Yankees stat sheet. So let's break it down, Roy. And I want you there with me. You comment anytime you want.
Yes, sir.
And you know, It's no secret Derek Jeter's had a great start this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let me just tell you, you know, even though it's a great start, average-wise, he's kind of coming back to normal a little bit more now. He's only hitting .342 right now. And his on-base percentage is .385. There's a lot of guys that have a better OBA. I call it OBA, not OBP, because it just sounds stupid to say OBP. But there's a lot of people that are over .400. Not on the Yankees, but throughout the league. Brett Gardner is still out. You know, he had a great start to the season. And his OBA is .424. He's the only Yankee with a .400 or better on-base average. Robinson Cano, good news for Yankee fans. He's starting to hit the ball. You know what's really amazing about the Yankees is they have seven guys that have between 18 and 29 RBIs. There isn't like two or three guys that are driving in all the runs. Everybody's like doing a little bit of their, you know, they got, the great thing about the American League is you got nine hitters. There's no pitcher batting in the American League. So, you know, your number eight hitter, your number one hitter, and even your number two hitter are going to be guys that have a lot of runs scored and runs batted in sometimes. A great lineup is a lineup where you have two leadoff hitters. You got a guy batting ninth that's a great leadoff hitter, and you got your leadoff hitter. That way, if you're leading off 8-9, you might have two guys on with nobody out and the top of your order's up. Really hard not to score runs that way. But I love Robinson Cano. And he's got 16 walks, 24 strikeouts. Let me just tell all you baseball coaches this out there. The most important thing in baseball to teach your kids how to do at any level is get to first base. You know, you don't want them not being aggressive at the plate hitting, but you want them swinging at strikes, and you want them taking balls, okay? And I'm telling you right now, a walk is like a line drive single. Same exact thing to your team. And what I look for in any, like when I have kids that play for me for the summer, and I have a coach that will call me and he'll want me to take his college kid for the summer, the first thing I do is I go to their stat sheet and I look at his stats. Now, I can't tell everything about a stat sheet. I can't even tell you what kind of kid he is until I talk to him. But I can tell you if he's patient or not. And if their walks are close to their strikeouts, and if their walks are greater than their strikeouts, these guys know the strike zone. And they're not scared to hit with two strikes because they go deep into counts. The guys that don't go deep into counts, to me, kind of a waste of time. Now, I'll give you a perfect example of a guy like that because I just saw it yesterday because he's new on Twitter. That's Ian Desmond of the Washington Nationals. Mm-hmm. Ian Desmond is having a great year for Desmond. Yeah. This is the best year he's ever had. You know, people were trying to get this kid, put into center field, sent to another team, get rid of him. But he's a big, strong, athletic kid. But the one thing I told him this week was I said, as soon as your walk strikeout ratio balances out a little bit, you're going to be an all-star. And, you know, and I told him when we tweeted back and forth, I said, if you need to know what I mean by that, ask Eck. And that's Rick Eckstein, his hitting coach. Because, you know, if he's walked only eight times all year, but he's punched out like 37. So when he gets to 2020, he's not only going to be hitting .330, he's going to be scoring 10 more runs and driving in 10 more runs. You see what I'm saying? And see, if you look at the Yankees, same thing. Like, Nunez hasn't batted enough, but his on-base average is good, .356. Anything over .350 is excellent. Chavez, typical guy that Oakland got rid of, because Chavez's on-base average is .314. Guess what his batting average is? .292. So what has he done? He's walked three times and punched out 13. He wants to swing the bat every time he gets to the plate. Well, that's great, Eric, but they're not going to throw you strikes if you're like that. Okay, A-Rod's always been pretty good with walks and strikeouts. 21 walks, 35 punch-outs, .368 OBA. He's starting to hit the ball. As a matter of fact, he hit two yesterday. Ibanez, I don't even want to talk about Ibanez. I don't even know how he's got a job. Curtis Granderson. Curtis Granderson's a stud. Now, Curtis Granderson has punched out 52 times this year. He's only hitting .256. His problem is he's swinging through balls and he's not being quite patient enough. Because Grandy Man, when he's patient, He has almost exactly as many walks as he does strikeouts. His OBA, though, is still 361, which is respectable. That's very good. And then the rest of the lineup really isn't very good. So now you got to look at their pitching. And when you get and when you look at the pitching staff for the Yankees, it's really sad to look at, only because you wonder what they would have been like with a healthy Michael Pineda.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you? I mean, you know, Roy, you follow the Yankees. I know you do, because we talk about them all the time. With Pineda, you have to think he'd have been. Look, they've got. Listen, the Yankees pitching right now, they have 8 guys under a 3 ERA. That's excellent. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Except for Andy Pettit, they're all relief pitchers. So what does that tell you? That tells you their starters are getting banged around a little bit, and they're going deep into their bullpen too early. When that happens, eventually your bullpen gets tired. And they do have some really good guys. Like Ivan Nova, I think they're thinking about putting him on the DL because something's wrong with Nova. Because he's 5-2. They score a lot of runs for him. But in 56 innings, he's given up 71 hits. His opposing average against him is 313. That's pathetic. That means the average guy's hitting over 300 off of him. Okay? Philip Hughes has been up and down, but Philip Hughes is starting to look more like the Philip Hughes of the past. He's got an ERA 4.94. He's won 4, lost 5, but in 47 innings, he's given up 52 hits. Okay, his walk strikeouts is fine. 13 walks, 46 punchouts. Kuroda, same thing. 53 innings, 59 hits, 4.56 ERA. CC is CC. CC is always going to be a low 3 guy. Now, he's struggled a little bit this year with his command, usually, in my opinion, with his curveball, because he's got such a great breaking pitch. But CC's 6-2, 3.66 ERA. You know, 71 innings, 69 strikeouts, welcome to the All-Star game. You know, if he gets his ERA down around 3, he'll definitely make the All-Star team.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
But you see what I'm talking about? Now, if the Yankees can get better reps, better starts out of their starting staff and save that great bullpen, and listen, Andy Pettit, come on. 21 innings, 18 hits, 19 strikeouts.
It looks like he's back.
It looks like he didn't go anywhere. Yeah. I mean, no wonder they thought he should be playing. You know, now having said that, you know, they've got to be real careful with how many innings he puts in, because he can't throw 200 innings this year. He's going to have to throw about 100 and a half, maybe.
He's going to start. He'll start getting banged around again. And you're exactly right. The key there is to keep his inning count low so he can, you know, make it through the whole season, because he's no spring chicken anymore.
No, he's not. But I got to tell you, I like the Yankees hanging around and getting to that 90 win number probably this year, because I don't think the Rays are going to run away with it, Roy. Do you? I don't see them having the hitters to go into these parks with very, very small, you know, with very, very tiny yards and be able to keep from losing once in a while, because they just don't have the hitters. You know what I mean?
I had the Yankees taking this division and then the Rays in second. And I think a big thing that is in favor of the Yankees is they're not playing their best baseball right now.
No,
they're still hanging around.
They're just starting to. And you know, when the weather gets hot in New York, that's when you do it. That's when that's when they – hey, listen, those dog days of summer, buddy, in August – in early September, the Pinstripes always seem to score a lot of runs and do real well. When we get back, we're going to talk about more baseball. We'll get through the entire American League quickly. Then we're going to get the National League. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We're back. This is Bruce Hall. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. One of my favorite songs leading us in. Just feel like driving away into... I can't figure out if I'm driving a Corvette at sunrise or sunset towards the beach when I hear that song. I mean, I'm in the car alone, but I'm doing like 120, you know? Anyway, we were talking Major League Baseball, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. And You know, Tampa Bay's a game back. The Yankees are 3.5 games back of Baltimore. Surprisingly enough, Toronto Blue Jays have a pretty good team this year. They've got some good starting pitching. They got some decent relief pitching. You know, they're going to be hanging around for a while, and they probably have one of the most exciting hitters in baseball. A guy that certainly has Jose Bautista has hit. I mean, last year he hit. I guess 2 years ago he hit almost 50 home runs if he didn't hit 50. And then last year he had a little drop off, but this year he's picked up where he left off. He's got great bat speed. Not a real big guy either. Just knocks the crap out of the ball. And then we've got Bobby Valentine's Boston Red Sox, who, in my opinion, are kind of like a comedy team this year. But they did win with they won with a walk-off. Salty hit a two-run bomb. Jared Saltalamacchia, former Texas Ranger, probably wishes he was a Ranger now. But he did sign for a lot of money up in Boston. They did keep him around, and he was the heir apparent to the captain. Of
Kevin Uke?
Yeah. No. The catcher that was there for many, many years, Jason Veritek from Georgia Tech. Okay. He was a Georgia Tech All-American 3 years as a catcher, and he's a great player. He couldn't hit a lick towards the end of his career, but he didn't matter because the guy was one of the best receivers in the league and called a great game. And the two World Series championships that Boston won were because of him. A big part of it was because of him. But anyway, Boston's got Tampa Bay today. Toronto, they had Texas beat last night, and my boy put it on them. He hit one into that little, yard that's, downhill yard in center field.
Every week he seems to make it up on the show somehow.
Josh Hamilton, listen, Josh Hamilton has 53 RBIs right now, and it's still May.
He's a freak.
If he stays healthy, he could. I'm not saying he's going to break it, because I don't think anybody will break Hack Wilson's record of 190 RBIs. Hack Wilson did that when he was with Chicago White Sox back in the 20s. And Hack Wilson was like 5'6" and looked like a boxer, but he had the biggest hands of any human being. And he was, Hack had his problems, but he was a great player. And there's a book out about it, and I'm in the middle of it right now, and I've been reading it for 2 months, and for some reason I don't get through it. Every time I pick up a book, I'm like all old people. I fall asleep after about 7 or 8 pages, but it's a great book. I think it's called Hack's 190. Yeah, you can get it at any bookstore. Anyway, well, let's get off the East. In the Central Division, the Cleveland Indians are a game and a half in front of everybody. They're a game and a half. They're 26-20. And you got to wonder, how in the world are they doing it? You look at the stats of their pitchers. I was on Twitter with Buster Olney this week, and we were talking about, we were just going back and forth about how are they doing it. John Keim, Washington beat writer with the Redskins, actually, but he's a big baseball fan. We were going back. I mean, Derek Lowe had his record was 7-2 into yesterday. He got crushed yesterday, by the way. They ended up getting beat bad yesterday, but they're still in first place. They're still in first place.
Yeah.
The Twins are setting all kinds of records of being one of the worst teams ever. Their starting pitching is giving up an OPS in the nines. That's like every hitter is Josh Hamilton. they may be getting a new football stadium in Minnesota, but they must have had to give up their baseball team to get one, because they don't have a baseball team anymore.
It's sad too. They were up a couple of years ago. They were looking good. Mauer was, looked like a very good young talent. I mean, he's still a great baseball player, but they really haven't put anything around him.
They've had big injury problems. Because their first baseman, who was an all-star up there, has had a concussion problem for, I don't think he played for almost 2 years. Ron Gardenhire, their manager, they've won championships. up there. They have a great organization. They don't spend a ton of money because they don't bring in a lot of money. Not a lot of money up in Minnesota. But I got to tell you, they handpick their draft choices. They don't just go get the best guys. They got to know that they can draft a guy and sign him for less than he would make in New York. Or anywhere, for that matter. The Chicago White Sox are surprising everybody. They're 14-9 on the road. And let me tell you, there's been an Adam Dunn sighting.
I was just about to say, Adam Dunn has a lot to do with that. We saw how crappy he played last year and the effect that it had on the team. And now he's starting to turn it around. And he's starting to wake up. His bat's starting to wake up a little bit, and the team's playing better because of it. I mean, you rally around your big hitters, and Adam Dunn is no doubt one of the big hitters in Chicago.
He's got that bat moving because he either hits it out or he punches out. But I got to tell you, you know, his run production is way up,
and he's got a good batter eye. He's got a good batter's eye.
Yeah, he does. You know what happened last year was just a freaky thing. It really was. And you know what? When you get in a slump, he proved how bad a slump can be. And you know, to the White Sox credit, they didn't get rid of him. You know, of course, they paid him a ton of money. He's making $13 million a year. But I got but there's guys making more money than that. But he is not going to win a body contest for you. You know, he's 300 pounds and he looks every ounce of it.
He looks like a giant lumberjack.
He looks like a giant pear, is what he looks like. but you know what? To his credit, he's doing a good job and he's in the right league. He's a DH. He's not even a very good first baseman because he can't move.
He's got a bad glove.
You know, after having Adam Dunn in Washington for, what, 3 years when he was there? Might have been four. He was there like 3 or 4 years. You know, the guy that they've got there, LaRoche, now, is like night and day.
I love LaRoche.
The guy's a gold glove fielder. He's unbelievable. Absolutely. And Nick Johnson was a gold glove fielder, although I'd rather have LaRoche fielding the ball. Detroit, this is the team everybody picked to win it all in the American League. Guess what? They're 22-24. Four games back in a lousy division. But I will say this, they're starting to hit the ball a little bit. The problem has been their starting pitching.
Yeah.
And the problem has been a little bit of their relief pitching. They're just not getting – and you know what? It's not like they just suck on the road. They suck at home. They're 11-12. They're not good on the road. They're 11-12. Doesn't matter where they play. They're an 11-12 team. Kansas City Royals – you know, I'm sorry. You know, I don't get it. They have one of the best minor league systems with talent in the major leagues, but they're still 18-27. What year are they going to step up, Roy?
That's a question they're still trying to figure out in Kansas City. I've never taken the Royals seriously, and I don't think this is a year to even really begin to talk about them. I don't think they're gonna make any noise anytime soon.
You know, it's
almost depressing, really.
It is.
When you think about it.
Well, think about this. How'd you like to be a season ticket holder there? Their home record is 5-17. Now on the
I've been there. We've been there in Washington.
This is a team that looks like they love to be on the road because they're 13-10 on the road. It's like I can't wait to get the hell out of here. Let's just leave because I hate this place. Minnesota, we already talked about. In my opinion, the best team in the American League. Hands down, Texas Rangers. Too much talent, too much pitching, too much Josh Hamilton. I mean, they're just they're phenomenal. They got eight RBIs out of their right fielder, the guy that couldn't catch a fly ball last year that cost them a World Series. You know, in my opinion, this is the team to beat in Major League Baseball this year, the Texas Rangers. Now, the Angels, you know, Albert Pujols, there's been a sighting. He's hit three home runs in three consecutive games, Roy, and now he's hitting .240. Of course, they fired the hitting coach 2 weeks ago, and obviously it's not, you know, you don't get – look, Albert Pujols should know how to hit the ball. He does know how to hit the ball. Firing that coach was ridiculous. That was just stupid. But you know what? It seems to be working for him because, you know, they're crawling back in it. Now they're 6.5 games back. They're never going to win the Western Division, but they're going to have to win a wild card. I don't see them winning the wild card. I see it being somebody like the White Sox. Well, the White Sox, I think, are going to win the Central. But Tampa Bay and the Yankees and maybe Toronto or Baltimore are all going to be wild cards. And division winners. You see what I'm saying? So I don't see another team coming out of the West. Do you? I mean, I don't think the Angels are going to win 90 games. I just don't see it.
The Cardinals had a similar thing last year with Albert Pujols, where you know he was kind of shaky, and then he caught fire, and the team really rallied behind him, and they went on that crazy run at the end. So I wouldn't count any team that has Albert Pujols on them out. But it's not looking good for them. It's definitely not looking good. And they have a decent squad out there. I mean, they're one of the higher paid teams in the league, so they definitely have some talent out there.
They're just in the wrong division, in my opinion, with Texas. Yeah. Texas is going to win 100 games this year.
And it's the same thing that we talked about with Chicago, where you rally around your big hitters. So now that Pujols is starting to come back, you know, maybe the rest of the team rallies around him and they break out of this slump. Maybe firing the hitting coach was a good decision. Maybe he was, you know, trying to get this team to do too much and wasn't really having them to relax and just swing. Because, I mean, they have veterans on that team. You know, the kids that are out there playing for the Angels don't really need someone to break it down and do fence drills with them. You know, they just need – it's a continue what you're doing, clear your mind, relax, and do what we brought you here to do kind of thing. And maybe the hitting coach was being too loud out there.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is they got Mike Trout. Mike Trout is considered maybe as good of a prospect as Bryce Harper. And Mike Trout is up now for good. He's hitting .301. He's in the big leagues. Maybe they just needed a change because they got all these kids. You know, they've got Trumbo, who hit almost .300 last year. I mean, you know, they've got a shot at growing through their minor league system, no question about it. Roy, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back with the rest of baseball.
Trouble that can be named. Tigers waiting to be tamed, singing
you. Welcome back. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm on the phone with Roy Boy. Roy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, hey.
Hey, listen, we're gonna go real quickly over the National League right now. First, I want to tell you who's leading the American League in hitting. Top 10 hitters in the American League. Pauly Konerko, Chicago White Sox. 3 years ago, when the San Francisco Giants were looking for a first baseman and they signed Aubrey Huff to a one-year deal for $3 million a year, which was nothing for what they got because they got basically a leader in the clubhouse. And a guy that had 25 home runs, 95 RBIs, and hit about 300, had an OBA of over 400. They could have had Konerko. Chicago White Sox were shopping Paul Konerko because he had had a year like where he hit 250, 260, and he had been injured half the year. Paul Konerko right now, and since they re-signed him to a long-term deal, he's hitting .396. He's a first baseman, people. And Paul's got to be 34, 35 years old. He's a borderline Hall of Famer if he continues to produce like this. Josh Hamilton, .376. He's going to be your MVP of the league if he stays healthy. Derek Jeter, .342. Jackson at .331 for Detroit. Adrian Beltre, Texas Rangers, third baseman, .319. A.J. Pierzynski, another guy that kind of gets lost in the shuffle with the Chicago White Sox, a guy everybody loves to hate, hitting .311. Prince Fielder, Detroit, .311. Miguel Cabrera, Detroit, .310. You wonder, why isn't Detroit winning? Their pitching sucks. Jones, we just talked about him, with Baltimore. Hitting .309, picked a good time to have a good start, didn't he? And then he got Big Poppy, .309 in Boston. Boston is also struggling for starting pitching. All right, now we're going to talk about the National League, Roy, and this is where both of us like. I've kind of turned back into a National Leaguer because I love the Mets. I love what they're doing. I love what David Wright is doing. The Washington Nationals are leading the National League East with a 28-18 record. They're 15-8 at home, 13-10 on the road. They're in Atlanta. They've already won the series. They won the first two games this weekend. This is a big game today, and I consider Gio the ace right now. I mean,
he's definitely pitching like it.
Well, you know what? Well, they paid for it too, because there's two guys starting for Oakland in their 5-man rotation that are prospects. You know, for the Washington Nationals, Malone, he's pitching today out in Oakland. He's pitching against the Yankees. And he may very well beat New York, and I hope he doesn't, because I've already released the New York Yankees today. But Miami is in second place. They're in the midst of winning a series at home against the Giants right now. They're in second place, 2.5 games back. New York Mets tied with them, 26-21. David Wright with a phenomenal start. They're getting some great, you know, they've got A.J. Dickey going today. He's 6-1. He's going for his 7th win of the season. It's such a great story. What Terry is doing there, you know, hopefully they'll make the playoffs. The Atlanta Braves, Roy, I know everybody likes the Braves. They're 26-22. With Chipper Jones in the lineup, they're 15-7. Without him, they're like 3-15. I mean, I saw that stat today and almost threw up. I mean, they need to get Chipper healthy. It's not going to happen. And you know what? It makes you wonder. What do they do when Chipper's not in the – I mean, why are they so bad when he's not in the lineup? They're not that bad.
No, they're really not.
And you know, McCann's been hurt too. That's been killing them.
Yeah.
You know, they have good pitching too. But the Nationals act like their pitching isn't worth a damn because they're knocking the crap out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Washington Nationals do not – they haven't been hitting until this week all season long, really. Philadelphia. You know, I don't know, man. They're
they're struggling, aren't they?
Well, they're 25-23, and they've played the best ball they've played all year right now. They've won 4 in a row. They got a great outing last night, got a shutout. I think this is probably a better division even than the American League East, because you have the team in last place, four games back. They're 26 games ahead over .500. That's unbelievable. Cincinnati Reds in the Central Division, Roy, they're in first place. Can you believe that? Now, I made the statement early on, 2-3 weeks ago, St. Louis was going to win this going away. Mm-hmm. I meant it. Well, why didn't Cincinnati listen to me? Because they're beating the crap out of everybody, and they're playing a lot better at home than they've ever played. I think they're finally getting a lineup where they can just pop the ball out of there. Joey Votto's having a great start.
I was just about to say,
Heisey hit
Joey Votto is looking like the guy that they paid a gajillion dollars for to keep him.
And he was worth every penny of it. There aren't that many good first basemen. Ask Bruce Bochy. I mean, he's looking for a second baseman right now. They don't even know if Freddie Sanchez is going to be back anytime soon. I mean, he's rehabbing, but he keeps getting hurt all the time. let's see. I would say St. Louis is probably going to win this division. Houston's 22-24. They're only 4 games back. And, you know, to Pittsburgh's credit, as weak as their hitters are, they have one all-star, Andrew McCutchen. Everybody else is terrible. They're 22-24. There's two teams underneath the Pirates in the National League Central. Milwaukee, Bud Selig's team, thank God they're losing, because I don't like him, and I really don't like Milwaukee. And the Chicago Cubs, God help the Cubs. They've lost.
they're desperate out there.
They've
right
lost
now.
11.
They're absolutely desperate.
They've lost 11 in a row.
Did you hear about the guy who was walking his goat to try to break the curse?
No. Tell me the story.
There's some guy, he was walking his, I guess a group of guys, and they were walking their goat around the stadium. I guess they walked him away, like 200 miles or something like that, away from the stadium to try and break the curse so the goat would leave. I mean, they're getting desperate. Even their fans are getting desperate out there. It's pretty sad. I followed the Cubs too before the Nationals came to town, because they were that extreme underdog story. You know, I kind of like the, you know, everyone loves a good underdog story, and it doesn't get much more underdog than the Chicago Cubs.
Nah, it definitely doesn't. Now in the West, you got the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, it's amazing. This team gets sold and bought for $2.15 million. Magic Johnson's involved. A lot of press, a lot of pub, a lot of this and that going on. Matt Kemp starts out like gangbusters. Andre Ethier is Andre Ethier. You know, they've got a good group of guys playing ball, and they've got a really good pitching staff. They're 19-5 at home. They're almost unbeatable at home, and they're 7 games out in front of San Francisco. They're really 7.5 games out because they played a night game last night and won. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to catch these guys. Now, I'll say this. Nobody predicted and nobody saw this kind of talent base in the roster for the Dodgers. I'll say they've been pretty they have played a big part of a weak schedule early on, but you know, 7 games this early is a long way out in front. My San Francisco.
Would you say there's a little bit of magic involved?
Oh God, yeah, it could be. It could be.
Brumt.
And I'm going to tell you another thing that might be involved. You know, this is a team that for 2 years they didn't even know where they were going, if they were going to be sold, if they were going to be moved.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of problems with the ownership group, a divorce, and it was real ugly. And now at least they know that they're not going anywhere. At least now they know that they've got a good ball club, you know, that they can play. They have the best left-hander in the business on the mound. Hell, even Billingsley's winning games, and he's not even that good. I really don't think that the West – Arizona is struggling. Now, they won the West last year, and they won the West going away, and they almost made it to the World Series. But they are struggling. And not only are their hitters struggling, their pitching staff is struggling. Colorado, they're done. San Diego, whatever happens to the Padres, good riddance. Because they got rid of two of the best people in the world in the last 5 years. They got rid of Kevin Towers, who went to Arizona and brought them a winner his first year. And they basically didn't re-sign Bochy when he had a year left on his contract. He went to San Francisco, and all he did was win a World Series. Now, we were talking earlier about walk-strikeout ratio. Remember when we were talking about that and how important that is? I'm gonna tell you. In order to do that, obviously, to have a good walk-strikeout ratio, you have to have a lot of walks. And you would think that guys that have a lot of walks are pretty good hitters, right? At least that means that pitchers don't want to throw them strikes, and they're smart enough not to swing at balls over their head. Let me just tell you a guy that goes way back, Kenny Singleton. He not only played for the Baltimore Orioles, he was a switch-hitting outfielder that I was faster than running backwards. But he could play ball, and he could hit. He led the Orioles with 118 walks in 1975, and he also led the Expos in 73 with 123 walks. Now, remember Adam Dunn, the guy we were talking about that basically was on a suicide watch last year, and now he's hitting bombs again. And he had 116 walks for the Nationals in 2009. You know who we didn't talk about? Let me go back. I'm sorry. We didn't talk about the Mets. Let me tell you what the Mets are doing. The Mets are right there. They're only 2.5 games back. David Wright is playing extremely well. I did want to go over this. And I really think the Mets starting pitching is going to continue to improve. And I think that they're – I mean, Nice is even – he's pitching very well. You know, like I said, we're going for a 7th win today with Dickey. I think the Mets are going to surprise everybody. I don't see Atlanta getting that much better. And, you know, because if they can't score runs without Chipper, they're not going to have Chipper. So they better get used to it. Philadelphia is probably going to hang around. Miami, I think they're overrated. Roy, what do you think about Miami?
I said that I thought that Miami was going to end up in the bottom of this division. I think there's just way too much drama, stress, completely surrounded in this organization right now with Ozzy, the new ballpark. The media is actually starting to, you know, try and pick them apart from what happened earlier in the season. There's just not a lot of good coming out of Miami right now, and we saw the same thing with LA. LA was a playoff team 3 years ago. They were a couple games away from the World Series when they had Manny. Then the divorce happens, all the stress around the top, you know, the top around the owner, and the team played like crap. And I think you're starting to see the same thing in Miami, where, you know, all that stress and the bad media comes around the team, and it's very easy to get yourself in a slump.
Absolutely. Hey, let me tell you, I pointed this out before the show, and I want all of our listeners to hear this. Talking about walks, Babe Ruth, 1923, dead ball era, right? Mm-hmm. 170 walks. 545 OBA. And you don't think Babe Ruth was the greatest hitter that ever lived? Let me tell you something. Nobody wanted to pitch to him. When they did, he knocked the crap out of it, or what did he do? He walked to first base. Hey, listen.
So you're saying he was an okay baseball player.
I was saying, you know what? He's worth the hype. Hey, listen, Roy, this is important for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We're back. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy, it's time to give him our picks. What do you think? I think I'm going to give him our picks. It's a great day for sports. You know, Matt and I were just sitting here talking about that. What a great weekend Memorial Day is for sports. They're having a big fundraiser in Washington, D.C., for Kyle's camp. It's a great, great fundraiser. It's for juvenile leukemia, for young kids that have leukemia. Rob Honey's running the deal back there. They've had hundreds of baseball games. All the baseball teams did fundraising for it, and it looks like they're going to raise close to $500,000 this weekend playing baseball. How great is that? It just doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to give you my predictions for the day. For those of you out there that like to play every once in a while or make a wager with a close friend, I'm going to give it to you right now. Here we go. Roy, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I think I'm back.
I think you are back. All right, let's start with the American League. We'll start with baseball.
Hard to know.
And then we're going to start with baseball. Then we're also going to we're going to talk a little bit about the hockey series, and we're going to talk briefly about the game today in the NBA in Baltimore. And I was just telling Matt, you know, if I didn't have 8 million things to do back at the house, I'd probably go to Baltimore, which is probably 20-minute drive from here. Get a nice cheap ticket and sit right behind the Kansas City dugout and watch a former number one pick, Luke Hoshaver, and that is how you pronounce that name. And the only reason I know that is my son was going to the University of Tennessee to play baseball as a freshman, and Luke Hoshaver's little brother was a sophomore there. Mattis is pitching for Baltimore. They lost yesterday. They're minus 125. I got to take Baltimore. Sorry, Mr. Hoshaver, but I see Baltimore winning this game. Although Kansas City plays much better on the road than they do at home. We talked about that earlier. I'm still going to take
Baltimore. Well, they can't get any worse.
Well, you know, the last three starts, Hoshaver's ERA is 3.20 and Mattis's is 3.00. It's very close, but his last three starts, Hoshaver's 1-2, Mattis is 3-0. Tampa Bay at Boston. You got Hellickson going against Buchholz. Personally, I don't think Buchholz is that good this year. Tampa Bay needs this game extremely bad. I'm gonna pass on it just because Boston won yesterday. I'm going to leave it alone. Cleveland and the Chicago White Sox. Gavin Floyd is pitching for the White Sox. Unfortunately, the last three starts, Gavin has an 8.31 ERA. In the business, we pass on somebody that's that hot. Detroit's at Minnesota. You know, if it was anybody except this righty Walters pitching for Minnesota, I'd be on Detroit today. But Walters has, in his last three starts, a 2.95 ERA. He's 2-1. I'm going to pass, period. I can't play a lousy team, and Minnesota's a lousy team. Toronto is at Texas. I'm taking Texas. It's Sunday. Josh Hamilton loves the Lord. I'm taking Texas. New York Yankees are at Oakland. Now, we talked about this, Roy. You remember Malone's pitching for Oakland.
Yeah.
He's actually pitched really well. This is a guy that was traded to Oakland. He was one of the top pitching prospects for the Washington Nationals. And he and another guy got traded. Actually, there were like four guys traded for Gio Gonzalez, who's also pitching, I think, for Washington today. I'm gonna say that Malone is gonna, you know, he's pitching against Hiroki Kuroda. You know, I still like the Yankees because I don't know if you saw SportsCenter when they scored. It was like they were at Yankee Stadium. There were so many Yankee fans there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pass on the game because I like Malone. Seattle, LA. You know, there's no way that Seattle is gonna beat the Angels today. Wilson's pitching for the Angels. Yeah. They paid him a lot of money. He's pitched extremely well the last three times out. I'm taking the Angels, and you'll probably have to give up probably minus 160, minus 180. In the National League, my favorite league, Dan Kane, we call him Big Sugar. He's pitching for the Giants. He's minus 110 against Ricky Nolasco, who struggled recently. I would normally not take this game just because I just feel like, you know, I jinx them, but I'm going to take San Francisco in this game. They have to win. Besides, Miami's already won two games. They've won the series already. Hey, Dickey's pitching for the Mets. We already talked about this.
Yep.
Going against Edkinson Volquez. Take Dickey. Take the knuckleballer in New York. He's going to win today. Jamie Moyer, who'll turn 50 here in a couple of months, is going up against Matt Latos right now. Matt Latos has had a great, great last two or three games. He's versus this opponent. He's 3-1 with a 2.7 ERA. Colorado sucks. Cincinnati's in first place. They're at home. Take Cincinnati here. Garza, God, is a guy they paid like $10 million a year a couple years ago. The Cubs have lost 11 in a row. Make it 12. Pittsburgh, Eric Bedard, they're going to win and beat Chicago, but I'm not playing the game. But if you like Pittsburgh, take them. Philadelphia, Roy Halladay, who lost for the first time in his entire life to the Washington Nationals last week. He goes up against St. Louis, and Wainwright has looked spectacular lately. However, Philly's hot. They've won four in a row. St. Louis is not hot. I'm passing.
No.
Houston is going up against the Dodgers. Capuano's been on fire. 2-1. He's been a big surprise, Roy. This guy, you know, they got him from Milwaukee. Milwaukee should have kept somebody. I mean, they don't have anybody. But Dale Capuano is great. With the team this year, he's 6-1. You got to take the Dodgers against Houston at home. Minus 160, that's a good value. Take them. They're the Dodgers. I can't believe I'm telling somebody to take the Dodgers. Milwaukee is at Arizona. Pass. Both teams just not playing well.
That's a headliner right there. That's a good game.
Now, let me just tell you, ESPN got this game right. This is the game of the week. It's on tonight. 8:05 start tonight on ESPN. Gio Gonzalez is going to make the All-Star team in the National League. Guess who else is? Brandon Beachy is going to make it, too. Both of those guys are All-Stars. I'm going to pass on it because I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Atlanta wins this game. However, Beachy being a righty, I like our lefty. I like the way our guys are swinging from the left side. And, Roy, did you notice how quickly Daniel Espinoza cleaned his act up and started hitting the ball when I told everybody
in
the world?
Yeah, he started to play a little better at the plate.
Yeah, well, I must have sent out 1,000 tweets about how he needed to be, you know, in AAA. Next thing I know, he's hitting a bomb after bomb. But he's still not. But he still punches out too much. Anyway, Roy, was there anybody you wanted to release? Everybody knows who my releases are.
Well, you hit the big ones. I mean, the games that I liked San Francisco. I like Kane over Miami. Okay. I like the Mets. I like Dickey.
I do too. I love that guy. I love his book. I've read like two chapters already.
I like
over
Latos.
4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks. Over 4 weeks. They're the best chapters, though.
I like the Reds and Latos. Latos is a very good hitting pitcher, as well as a, you know, he's good on the mound
yeah,
as well.
He's
and
huge.
The Rockies are terrible.
Yeah, they are.
And then I like the White Sox. I'm not a big fan of the Indians. I know they have Jimenez on the hill, but I like the Sox.
That could go either way. You know what? Gavin Floyd is a good pitcher, though. He's a former number one draft choice, too. I mean,
yeah, I like the Sox.
I do. You know what? I didn't release him because I'm just worried about that game. Because you know what? They scored a ton of runs yesterday. Yeah, and you know what? I'd love to take the Yankees again in Oakland, but Malone is so tough.
Yeah, I'm staying away from the Yankees. And then the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers, I think they run away with that game.
You
like
got to take
them.
It's Sunday. Yeah. You know, it's Sunday. You know, and I just think the Rangers are going to be the American League. I just don't know who's going to beat it. In the National League, it's up for grabs. There are, in my opinion, probably four teams that could win the National League this year. I hate to jinx them, but Washington has a chance.
Yeah. Well, let's hope they stay healthy, right?
I would say that Washington has the best chance in the East. I think that the Mets are going to be right there with them, and I think that Atlanta and Philly are going to kind of slide, and I think you're right. I agree with you, Roy. I don't think Miami's going to do that much down the road. I don't think they have the starting pitching to do it. If they're relying on Burley to be the guy, they're in trouble. No, and also, the next division, Chicago ain't going to win it. Milwaukee's not going to win it. Pittsburgh's not going to win it. Houston's not going to win it. It's going to be either Cincinnati or St. Louis. But if Cincinnati makes it to the playoffs, they're not going to beat anybody because they have no pitching. In the West, there's only two teams, L.A. and San Francisco. And I don't know if San Francisco can catch L.A., and I don't know if San Francisco is going to be the wild card. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I had San Francisco in the playoffs in the beginning of the season, but the more that the season's progressed and gone on, I did not expect L.A. to run away with that.
You know, I gotta say this about the Dodgers. You know, they're figuring out ways to win. They really are. I mean, as much as I don't like them, I do like Don Mattingly. And for all you New Yorkers that remember Donnie Baseball, baby, that's one of the best reasons in the world to like the Los Angeles Dodgers. You damn sure don't like them because of their fan base, because they beat up somebody else last week. Did you read that? They hurt somebody. Yeah, like four people got the crap kicked out of them at that game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's sad. Sad. Listen. It's been a great show, Roy.
It has been.
What is the lucky couple's name? Real quick. 10 seconds.
Evan. It's Evan and Jessica.
All right. You've listened. It's been Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.